This week on episode 249 of the RV Podcast, we meet a couple who quit their 9-to-5 jobs for a life on the road chasing the stars in their RV.
We had seen someone else in our close circle doing that, working from the road, going full time, and we realized, let's go do this. Let's go see the national parks. Let's go see the geology and astronomy. But our twist is that I didn't want to give up our telescopes. We really enjoyed our telescopes and doing presentations. So also we realized, wait a minute, we could go do this and slowly see North America by giving free day and night astronomy presentations as we go.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the RV Podcast. A great guest coming up, as you just heard in this week's episode. You're going to love the story of John and Brenda and how they are on the road helping others understand how cool it is to look up at the stars and enjoying RV travel all across the country as they do so. Hey, no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting one someday, this is for you, because on this podcast we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So please know you are very welcome here, and we are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week for episode 249 of the podcast, being released on July 3rd, 2019. Happy 4th of July to everybody, including my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, dear. Well, I did the wrong one. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, no matter where everybody is, this is a huge camping weekend. It's the biggest of the year for those in the U.S. Many on the roads filling up campsites and boondocking way off the beaten path. They're having a great time out there. We hope everybody just drives carefully and is safe.
And a belated Canada Day to our friends north of the border who just celebrated their long weekend last weekend.
Yeah, it was. It was a big weekend. Two weekends in a row. We are staying home this weekend since we travel up to 3/4 of the time. We thought we'd stay off the roads and free up some camping space for those who maybe don't get away as much as we do.
And besides, we're gone so often that being in our sticks and bricks Michigan home is like a vacation for us.
It is. It is. Yeah, we don't mind at all.
So we're expecting to be back in our RV and on the road again next week, making our way down to Nashville, Tennessee, and the area for a week of activities.
Jennifer spending a lot of time working outdoors on her landscaping and her garden. I am holed up in the studio, though, furiously editing as much video as I can so that we're on the road. I have time to shoot more. And it's kind of a delicate balancing act between driving, getting someplace, and then researching a story and interviewing and shooting. And then it's time to go to bed. Then it's to do it all over the next day. When do you edit? So we're using our home stays as editing time. That's what we're doing now.
Our next video will be released Thursday, July 4th, on the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. It's part two of our trip to the Adirondack Mountains, and it also takes us to the Finger Lakes region of New York and the beautiful Letchworth State Park south of Buffalo.
Hey, everybody. I want to point out that we are having an awesome 4th of July sale on our ebook guides, our various ebook guides. So here's the deal, and it expires on the 4th, so I want to make sure everybody knows about that, because it's the best pricing we've ever had on these. If you buy either our Beginner's Guide to Boondocking or our RV Buyer's Guide, we are going to throw in whichever one of our various 7-day adventure guides that you'd like. Plus, we're going to also give you a fun pack of our RV Lifestyle Rule 330 stickers. So you can go over, if you just go to rvlifestyle.com/books, rvlifestyle.com/books, and you can check them out and share the link. It'll all calculate it all for you. But the special deal and the special pricing and all the extras ends on the 4th of July. So we thought we would share that with everybody. And let's see. We also want to give a shout out to our reviewer of the week. We started that last week, and it's a way for us to acknowledge all the kind words you guys say to us. This one comes from Downriver Brian, who left us this wonderful 5-star review on iTunes and said the following. He said, "This is the only RV travel-related show I listen to regularly. I've never even gone RVing, but I would like to someday. Regardless of that fact, this show has all kinds of general camping type of information that really gets you ready for travel, especially when you listen to it during the winter months and the fall months. Gets you excited about the changing seasons. There are tips on campgrounds and all the other stuff is great. I just love it." Well, thank you, Brian. We so appreciate those kind words in your review, and we invite you, dear listener, to please do the same. Please leave us a review and a rating on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you listen to us on. We so appreciate the feedback, and we do read every single one.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
We all know national parks are busier than ever, but an interesting story out last weekend also tracked how funding shortages have caused the number of park rangers to decline at the same time that visitors' numbers are setting records. Park superintendents are having to choose between hiring maintenance workers or park rangers often. A report in USA Today showed a 20% decline in rangers since 2005 as Congress cut funding while visitors' numbers rose.
About $10 million worth of goods once belonging to the Irwin-Hymer North American Group, the maker of Road Trek Class B motorhomes, are being sold to the highest bidders at a massive auction July 16th through the 19th. Everything from office furnishings and equipment to tools to new Hymer tow-behind trailers, all that is going to be sold in what liquidation firm Infinity Asset Solutions says is a rare sale because of its massive size. It's really kind of sad. This is all the stuff from Road Trek and Hymer and all those bright hopes that that company once had, all now being sold at auction. The maker of Road Trek, as you know, went into receivership in February, owing more than 900 creditors, nearly $275 million. About 850 people lost their jobs. There's some hope now that things will turn around. French company Rapido has bought the brand, the Road Trek brand, and they bought some of the vehicles that were in various stages of production when Road Trek shut down so abruptly last January. The auction is selling the assets Rapido did not buy. And Rapido is saying that they hope to resume production in the fall, early fall, and hope to actually have new vehicles in dealer showrooms. They're trying to build that network back up, maybe even by the end of the year. So good luck to Rapido, and we're glad that that brand will continue. But kind of sad to see all those assets being sold.
South Dakota's Custer State Park is celebrating its centennial this year, and I found a delightful story detailing how the park came to be. The park is holding a photo, coloring, and even a selfie contest to celebrate, along with opening a time capsule and putting a new time capsule in the ground. Mike and I camped there several years ago and found the park delightful, with large private campsites along with bison, bighorn sheep, antelope, and more. To see our report, check the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/249.
Yeah, a couple minutes ago, we had a story about the number of park rangers decreasing and traffic increasing at parks. Well, here's a class example of that. Glacier National Park. It is quite the congested mess at Glacier this year. The reports we have seen are of gridlock, traffic jams up to 40 minutes long, frustrating tens of thousands of tourists so far this season. And the peak tourist time has just begun. Going to the Sun Road at the foot of Lake McDonald has been closed several times now since Father's Day because of excessive traffic. And the parking lot at Logan's Pass is so filled that the park employees' traffic monitors, they have to now have traffic monitors up there at the top of Logan's Pass to shoo away those who want to stop there or take photos or do some hiking. It's pretty sad, but it is a mess at Glacier this year. A lot of it because they're doing a lot of road construction, but also because there's a lot more people seemingly going to that park. I kind of blame us because we're always talking about how much we love Glacier.
Okay, the first time that we went there, Mike, remember that it was such a big traffic jam to get in that they gave up and they just let everybody enter the park. They didn't make anybody pay or check passes or hand out maps or anything.
I remember
they
that.
Just like, get in because you're making a traffic jam.
I do.
So I wonder, it must be worse than the first time we went.
Yeah, it is. It's just been crazy, they say, this year so far.
The need for greater RV safety checks was an issue in the news last week after a Canadian man died and his passenger critically injured following a mechanical error in their RV. The driver of the RV was described by witnesses as a hero for trying to avoid hitting others as he lost control of his vehicle. The RV ended up jumping off a dock, landing on a ferry that had just taken off, and smashing into tiny bits.
Yeah, sad. Canadian guy died. We have not heard exactly what happened, what went wrong with that, but what a sad story. Hey, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. Rad Power Bikes is an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes and now with free shipping. We love Rad Power Bikes. Electric bikes have just become so popular with RVers, and no wonder. Rad Power Bikes has a whole series of them that come in all sorts of different sizes and styles. They have fat tire versions. They have folding versions. They have beach cruiser versions. Jennifer has one that's the step-through model, and you don't have to throw your legs over the handlebar or over the center bar there, the center post. I've got the mine's kind of like a beach cruiser, the city bike model. All of their different models. All of them can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. That is so much fun. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. You can utilize five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine the two. Rad Power Bikes are perfect for people who want to get back into bike riding, maybe recovering from surgery or injury, or just looking for a little extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And they are often priced at half that of comparable bikes on the market because Rad Power Bikes deals directly with the consumer. That dealer retail markup chain is all cut out. Here's the special deal. Besides free shipping, if you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, they will give you an additional $75 off plus free shipping. If you see Jennifer and I, and we've got our Rad Power Bikes with us, we'll be happy to give you a demo on them as we travel around the country. We love sharing them. People get on them and they say, this is so much fun. You got to try one. Check them out yourselves online, radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this one comes from Tina, and it comes via our RV Lifestyle Facebook page. And we'll put a link in the show notes to that Facebook page. If you have not liked that page, you want to go like it, and then you can follow lots of comments on that. Tina says, I've been following you two for a while. My husband and I and our two dogs will be traveling from Washington State down to the Grand Canyon, and then we'll be driving to Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're estimating, listen to this, Jennifer. She says, we're estimating that we will drive about 600 miles a day. Do you have any tips for us? And we'll be pulling our camping trailer. Yeah, we do.
That sounds awful.
600 miles a day. Oh my gosh, Tina.
They're trying to see it all in a week?
That's crazy. That's too many miles. You're not following our 330 rule of 330 miles or quit by 3:30 in the afternoon. You know, it's hard enough in a motorhome, a compact motorhome, class B or, you know, class C. But 600 miles a month, towing a trailer, that is way too many miles. You are going to be exhausted. You're going to be beat up. You're going to be stressed. That's just so long. So, yes, our tip is don't travel so far and so fast.
Now, they didn't say how old they are. Now, if they're young and full of it and take turns driving,
well,
it is for me. But, you know, if you only got a week and you want to take it all in, go for it. Well, but I wouldn't do it.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, 600 miles a day, you don't have time to see anything. And you're not factoring in things like, I mean, you'll get stuff going past your window as you're driving down the road. If you're driving 600 miles a day, you're probably driving interstates, so you're not really seeing much of the countryside. I guess my tip would be get some good podcasts, maybe download some audio books, listen to those as you drive. Take a break every 2 hours, walk around. What other things?
Well, I was going to just say, when you're in a motorhome, the passenger can get up and walk back and forth, get the kinks out.
Not when you're towing.
But when you're towing, you're sitting there.
Yeah.
And the dogs are going to want to get out and run around, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got big dogs or little dogs, but, you know, good for you. You must know how far 600 miles are, but I would not do it.
Yeah, you're going to end up beat up and exhausted at the end of the day. But like Jennifer said, we don't know your details, and that might be the only way you can do it. And if that's the case, then make the best of it. But take frequent breaks, switch drivers. I mean,
if your goal is to see the Grand Canyon, go for it.
Yep, you want to see it all. And I understand that some people, you know, that's why we wrote all those 7-day adventure guides that we do, because we know some people only have 7 days, and we figure we can help you out, like, you know, these different trips and stuff. And that's really our second question from somebody who just bought one of our 7-day adventure guides. This comes from John. Now, I mentioned Tina's question came from our Facebook page. John's came from our RV Lifestyle Facebook group. You know, there's a difference between a Facebook page, which is kind of, we have to originate the post and then people can comment underneath it, but you can't sort of start your own. On the Facebook group, you can start your own post and then everybody can post in, and there can be a long and detailed threads. So we have both the page and we have a Facebook group, and there are links. Just go to the show notes and you can find them both in the show notes. But John writes a question via our RV Lifestyle Facebook group, and he says, we bought your 7-day Michigan UP adventure guide and we are planning our trip for late summer. Good for you, John. And have a question. He says, does the dreaded UP black fly have a season, or are they as thick as ever until the freeze? They're planning to go in late September or October. Will we avoid the bulk of them?
They should.
Yes, you will. The flies are gone, fortunately. With the later you go, September, they're pretty much not an issue. In October, they're gone. And as soon as there's a frost up there, which often happens in early October, they're all gone. But the worst time is late June and maybe the first couple of weeks of July. And that's true of throughout much of the north and the east. It seems in the UP that if the black flies aren't biting, the mosquitoes are. And if the mosquitoes aren't biting, it's the black flies. And if there's no wind at all, they're both biting. It's just part of it. And it isn't necessarily every single day.
The absolute best time to travel is like mid-August to what? November?
Yeah.
You know, for most of the country, or maybe early November. I mean, everywhere it seems like that's the beautiful time of the year, especially in the northern states with the fall colors and the bugs. You know, you get rid of the bugs and have the beautiful sunny days. And boy, that is the number one time to go, because in spring you get the bugs.
And then, you know, you got the kids back in school, so things aren't nearly as crowded as they normally are. And Well, anyway, you will have a great time. Thank you, John, for getting our RV Lifestyle 7-Day Adventure Guide to Michigan's UP. We also have books and adventure guides for Colorado, for Southern Utah, for Yellowstone National Park, and, of course, the UP. And we've got lots more planned. We've got one coming up soon on the Adirondacks. So hope, and then the goal of those 7 days is this, for those of you who have limited time, so you can make sure you see everything. It's best to take, you know, 10 days or so if you can, but we can get you through it all in 7 days. And John, you're going to love Michigan's Upper Peninsula. All right, so those two questions came in through Facebook. We should tell you we also are on Instagram, and we haven't really used Instagram much until just the last few weeks. And people always say, well, I didn't even know you were on Instagram. So you can follow us, just a hashtag RV Lifestyle Mike, hashtag RV Lifestyle Mike, or you can go to instagram.com/RV Lifestyle, and you can see we've been doing more and more of that. It's kind of fun to share those pictures that we take all the time.
It is fun.
All right. You got a question you'd like us to answer, or a comment on the things that we've been discussing here in the podcast? If so, you can leave us that question by email. Just send it to us, MikeandJen@RVLifestyle.com. Or you can comment on, just leave a recording of it on a special voicemail number we have, which is 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990. That number, by the way, is very prominently on the right-hand side of our RV Lifestyle blog at rvlifestyle.com. So you can find that phone number to leave us a message. Or if you got one of those voice memo apps on your smartphone, you can also email that in as well. So we'd love to get your questions. We'd love to feature your voices too. This part of the RV podcast is brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, maker of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries. They can be installed in just about every RV, no matter how old it is. You can get in touch with Battle Born, and they'll help you figure out what the best package for you, if you want to upgrade to lithium, what other energy management upgrades you got to do. They are familiar with all of the different RV brands out there, Class A, Class C, Class B, travel trailer, cab over camper. They know all of this. Don't worry. They're expert in those kinds. So just tell them what you need and what you're looking for, and they'll walk you through that. They make three different 12-volt lithium deep cycle model batteries, and most of them, you can find one that will drop into any size travel trailer, any size motorized RV. All the Battle Born batteries are protected by a 10-year guarantee, and they can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, the right inverter, charger, solar controller as well. Why lithium? Well, for one thing, they allow you to be off the grid longer. They are simply better performing. They charge faster. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting. You can discharge them more than you can other batteries, lead acid batteries. And lithium is maintenance free. So you check them out. Jennifer and I have a Battle Born system in our RV. We rely on it for our boondocking adventures. And if you're interested in learning more, just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium, and talk with the Battle Born experts. You'll get to their website. You can then figure out what you need. They'll take care of you. Be sure and tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast. Again, rvlifestyle.com/lithium. All right. Now it is time for our interview of the week. And we want to ask you, have you ever dreamed? I know you have. Have you ever dreamed of quitting your job, selling your sticks and bricks home, and heading for the wide open spaces? More and more people are doing that, and we hear about it every single week. Well, that's exactly what our guests today did. They are John and Brenda Najedlo, and John quit his job as a police officer in Wisconsin. Brenda left her job. She was with the Green Bay, Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra. And today, you will find them touring America in a Class A motorhome and towing behind that the largest solar array panel that I have ever heard of for an RVer. It's just amazing how much power. You'll hear about that in a second. Now, they did this because they literally wanted to chase the stars. Astronomy is and has been a passion for this couple for a long time. And so you now will find them camped out in most often a national park. That's where they are right now, as a matter of fact. And they're putting on night sky seminars for free, for free. Well, when we heard about this couple, we just knew we had to invite them on the podcast. Stay tuned, because you're going to also want to learn about that massive solar panel trailer that John tows. So meet John and Brenda Najedlo, known on the internet as GeoAstroRV.com. Well, joining us right now from Montana is John and Brenda, and welcome you guys to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much.
Now, we need to talk a little bit about you guys. I did a little bit in the intro to you, but tell everybody how long you've been full-timing, what your background was before, and what you're pursuing as you do your full-timing. We talked about the dark sky adventures, but you guys are doing a lot more than that, too.
Well, sure. We've been full-time now for 2 years, and we've really enjoyed those 2 years. A lot of learning. Before that, we were from Northeast Wisconsin. I had been a police officer and then a middle school and a high school science teacher. Brenda had worked at the Green Bay Symphony and then a place called Club Scrap Incorporated before we took off. And we basically were in a position where we could go full-time. We had seen someone else in our close circle doing that, working from the road, going full-time, and we realized, let's go do this. Let's go see the national parks. Let's go see the geology and astronomy. But our twist is that I didn't want to give up our telescopes. We really enjoyed our telescopes and doing presentations. So also we realized, wait a minute, we could go do this and slowly see North America by giving free day and night astronomy presentations as we go.
So you don't get any income from doing the astronomy presentations. That's just a gift.
It is. I'll let you talk about that.
We just felt that we were very blessed that we are able to do this. And we just felt that we needed to give back. The karma would get us if we didn't give back our love and our knowledge. And we just firmly believe that everybody should have an opportunity to look up in the night sky and see the awe that is there. And we're fortunate enough to be able to go around and offer that to people.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about a typical day and night, how you do that. You're on your way to one of our favorite places, Theodore Roosevelt National Park, which never gets the credit that park deserves, I think. Everybody's on their way to somewhere else, but that is such an awesome park. How long are you going to stay there, and like, what will you be doing?
We'll be staying there for 2.5 months this year, and that's probably going to be what we do on for a number of years to come, July through mid-September. And every day we will go out and we'll do daytime presentations and nighttime presentations for them. And we get to actually stay in the national park. We get to stay at a historic site with bison all around us, and we get to go share the stars with people. So we look at ourselves and we're like, we're volunteers in the park. And I just feel we're so lucky to do that.
And this year, on top of the day and nighttime presentations, we're also going to be doing some outreach at the Dickinson Public Library. They are having a summer worth of reading for basically space is their theme. And they're also holding a 50th anniversary for the moon landing. So we're going to be doing some things with the public library also.
Wow. Now, talk a little bit. You guys are not typical retirement age. You're still young enough that you got to have some kind of income. How do you earn an income, or what do you do on the road?
As I said, my mom and dad have both passed away, and they were very, very smart with how they invested. And being an only child, I'm very fortunate with what I have been left.
So you're basically living on an inheritance. And did you sell your house back in Wisconsin?
Yeah, sold everything. We have no cubicles, no storage unit. We sold it all.
Now, if people are go to the show notes for this episode, they will see some images of what you have. And you don't need a storage unit, because you've got to tell us about your RV and then what you tow with it. And I think that people will be amazed at this part of the story.
We actually have a Thor Aria 3401. So it's technically 34 foot 8 inches.
A Class A.
Class A diesel pusher. And I tend to drive that. And then John drives our Ford F-250, which pulls our 17 foot solar trailer. So we drive separately on drive days.
How far do you usually go a day?
We believe in that. Well, I think you guys have heard of the 330 rule. So travel.
Yeah.
we like to travel under 300 miles for sure. And, you know, a lot of times we're not taking off till 10 in the morning, 10:30 in the morning. And we'd like to arrive before 3:30 to our next location or where we're staying overnight. So we can enjoy the area a little bit more. And it's just better on us and the dogs and everything.
Well, I certainly say that all the time. Now, I want to go back. You said you pull this solar trailer. This is a work of art. This is like unlike anything I have ever seen in our 7 years of RVing. It is massive. Tell us about what's in that solar trailer that you pull and how you use it.
Sure. We had, right before we decided to do this, I had finally picked up the Dobsonian telescope that I really wanted. And that's 8 foot tall is the eyepiece. So you've got to climb up a ladder. So it breaks down into sections, but I'm like, I'm taking that with me.
And it won't fit under the RV. Where do you put it?
And so I started researching, you know, I need to keep it air conditioned or climate controlled and keep it safe. And I started looking on the internet and I found this company, Mobile Solar, and they make these trailers that are, and they had never really added an air conditioner to it, and they had never really put insulation all around it. So we did a custom install with it, and we absolutely love it. It's got a 3,000 pound lead acid battery, forklift battery that rides over the axles, and it's got 3.7 kilowatts of solar on top.
Let's let that sink in. 3.7 kilowatts. A kilowatt is 100 watts. No, is it 1,000 watts? 1,000 watts. 3.7 kilowatts, and each kilowatt's 1,000 watts.
3,700 watts.
3,700 watts. Most solar arrays, if you have a lot, or maybe 1,200 is the most you see on an RV. This is like three times that. That's just fantastic. Amazing. So this is a trailer that you pull. What does it power besides, I would imagine, everything when you're out boondocking?
Yeah, it really serves as its number one focus is to be able, we can place that anywhere. So if we're doing a middle school presentation, high school presentation, UU church, state park, anywhere that we go, Escaper or FMCA convergences and meetings, we can go and drop that wherever we want. We've got a composting toilet in it, and it can power itself and keep all of our equipment the way it needs to be. So, everything is inside of that very self. But then on top of it, we can also park it right next to our trailer, plug a 30 amp cord into it, and it helps keep us off grid the same way.
Now, I have to ask this because I will be asked this question a lot, and I don't know how you want to answer it, but how much does something like that cost? They're all going to ask us that. You know that. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go to Mobile Solar on the internet and see all the different size trailers they have. But you're talking there, if you were to take a comparable trailer, this is customized, but one of their comparable trailers, you're talking under $35,000. And on top of it, you get a ton of money back at the end of the year. In fact, for us, it was 2 years worth on our taxes. Because it's solar and you're adding it, and it technically it's our house.
Right.
So, you know, we had a ton of tax breaks that came at us for 2 years.
That's a pretty neat reason right there to do it. But for the boondocking stuff, it's just incredible. Now, we're going to put pictures of all of this up in the show notes. But what I'd like you to do is to talk about these dark sky adventures and how many places that we can now go to that have truly dark sky, that the dark sky preserves, and why those are so important and so so incredibly inspiring to people that they all need to go visit one.
Sure. We've been to a number of them now. You'll notice that our travels have mostly been to the West. We went one time down to Florida for the first winter, where we got an RV certification training to be a tech. But then after that, we've been out West. And whether you're in lower Texas or Colorado or Arizona or all these states all the way up through there, you have opportunities. In fact, your state as well, Upper Michigan, there's some great opportunities up there as well. But a chance to go out and actually, this is so important in this. We're following in the footsteps of John Dobson, because I just feel people need to have that opportunity to get under skies that they don't normally see, and to see the stars in ways that most people don't have an opportunity to see. So if we can meet people at dark sky locations, wherever they want, and boondock right alongside of them, and take two or three nights and look at the stars at night. And we really believe that not just, you know, look through an eyepiece, but learn how to operate the telescopes to choose what they want to look at. And we do that well with groups of like 8 to 12 people at a time, I think.
Yeah, it's a very intimate experience instead of going to, say, a star party where there's like Yellowstone or Grand Canyon, there's thousands of people. They get to look through a telescope for 3 seconds and you have to move on. That is not what we think it should be.
So we really enjoy, like right now, our time at Theodore Roosevelt. It is smaller. Like you had said, it's a very nice hidden park. And it's just, we can go with smaller groups of people and craft the presentation to what they want. And for us, the enjoyment that we get watching their faces when they get to see something that they've never seen, wow. I mean, you know, it makes our, that and the bison all around us, that makes our experience.
Now, this is pretty funny, John. You were a police officer. This is quite a change of pace for you. and a middle school, and your experience in middle school, that's even probably harder work than being a cop, you know. They're a little more unmanageable. But it's quite a change of pace for you.
As a police officer, I was fortunate to have an opportunity in the schools to be a liaison officer. Mm-hmm. And that really changed my look at what it takes to raise kids in a community and to get them along the way. So that it changed who I was. And then to have an opportunity to go back and to be a middle school teacher, science teacher, and then a high school science teacher, we were ready to settle down in a community in Shawano County, Wisconsin, and that was where we were going to finish off our last few years of working when this opportunity came up. Yeah. But I love working with kids and working with people. It's a joy.
Now, Brenda, you were with the Symphony Orchestra in Green Bay.
I originally started out at the Green Bay Symphony, and actually I was also a private voice and piano teacher. So I did that for a while, but realized you can't really make a full-time job and earn money at that. So I got another job at Club Scrap Inc., which is a scrapbooking company. And then on the side, I taught voice and piano, did a ton of accompanying and judging for vocal competitions. So that was mine.
So how do you get your music fix when you're on the road?
Well,
because you don't get that out of your system. That never leaves.
I still have it. Oh, don't you worry.
Yeah.
We actually have a pull-down bunk bed that sits above where the driver's seat and stuff is. So I have my full 88 electronic keyboard up there. I have a guitar, which I really am awful at. And I have 5 or 6 Native American flutes. That's how I get music.
We had last year gone to an FMCA rally in Texas and enjoyed our time. And Brenda had a chance to work with them. And so she's on a constant basis pulling down the keyboard, you know, practicing and gets her fix of performing for people. And every once in a while, something odd like that happens where she gets a chance to take it out and perform.
Right.
And it helps.
I gave dinner music to the FMCA. So that was, I had a great time.
Well, now that brings up my one of my last questions here, and that is, you're at Theodore Roosevelt for the next 2.5 months. Any other places around the country people should be looking for you guys?
Right now, Theodore is our big one. We did do Homestead National Monument in Beatrice. The weather was just simply not cooperative when we were there. We were able to assist them with some education opportunities of not looking through a telescope. But that was sort of disappointing, but we had a wonderful time there. And we are actually in talks with a couple of other parks that we're going to be visiting when we're done with Theodore to see if we can add them to our list starting next year.
We know we're in a winter in the Arizona, that lower Arizona, partly into California, New Mexico. California. We're going to spend a lot of time down there and keep it pretty flowing. If we just happen to run across people on our, that from your show that want to meet up with us and go to our itinerary page and send us a message. Yeah. We'll meet up with people at, you know, some dark sky location, if it's, you know, agreeable on both sides and just enjoy. So Dinosaur National Monument and Craters of the Moon are the two parks that we're just starting to talk with right now.
Yeah.
Just getting our feet wet. And part of it is we sort of love wandering right now. We get to watch a lot of our friends that have been up in Idaho and Montana and seeing the pictures they take of themselves boondocking. And we're like, okay, this year.
That's where we want to go.
We want to go and boondock out that way.
We did the same thing last year and the year before. We had an event we had to be at every single month, and we really had no time just to go out and explore. And we've done that this year. We're now turning it into books, and it's just so different when you can wander. But I do think it would be really fun. I am toying around sometime in the next year or so to maybe put together just an RV lifestyle gathering somewhere, and you guys would be wonderful to have at that. And
that's the sort of stuff we love doing.
Yeah,
there's something about RVers. We just love to sit and talk to people, share a meal together, share an experience together. RVers are just, it's an amazing group of people.
They are. Well, let's try and make that happen. I'll be in touch. We will put links to your website and people can see all of the photos. But what an opportunity to enjoy your passion, to serve other people, and to, you know, really give other people a glimpse at what an incredible world we have out there, up there, and around us. So I'm delighted to tell this story, and I'm delighted to meet you guys. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Isn't that a lot of fun?
Yeah, I want you to make it happen, Mike.
I know. We gotta plan a gathering next year. We'll get them there.
I want to find out where they're going to be.
Yeah.
So well, they're, that we can join them.
We could shoot out to Theodore Roosevelt. That's one of our favorite parks in North Dakota. We just did a video on it last year, and you can... And we could go see the Medora musical. We like that.
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah. Anyway, John and Brenda have a website. As I said, it's called geoastrorv.com. We will put a link in the show notes for this episode. You all can find them. And I don't know. Keep your fingers crossed. I think we're going to see about organizing an RV lifestyle gathering for everybody sometime next year if we can get some volunteers, huh?
It sounds good, but what did they say? 8 to 12 people is best?
Yeah, well, 8 to 12, we found that in everything. 8 to 12 people at a time, you know, to go through a little thing.
Yeah, a couple days.
Yeah, so it will be fun to see those guys. And we got a picture of the solar array that John has that he talked about, and that will be in the show notes for this episode that we post on our travel blog, which is rvlifestyle.com. So check that out, and you will be able to find it.
Okay, then the next question I had was kids or dogs. They said something mentioned dogs. So I just wondered how many and how big. And
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You can't travel without a dog, though.
That's true.
You got to have a dog. Hey.
Bo wants two dogs.
Bo doesn't get two dogs. Bo's lucky that Bo comes. The interview of the week is brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. At Sunshine State RVs, you will find hands down the largest selection of used small motorhomes in North America. They have them from all of the big brands, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, Coachman, Road Trek, Pleasureway, and more. They also sell all sorts of new small Class B motorhomes from Winnebago, the Travato, the Winnebago Era. They have Coachman, they have the Galleria, they have the American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC, and many, many others new as well as used. whatever your RV needs are, that's where you need to go. We have had Sunshine State RVs as a sponsor on the podcast now for several years. We've gotten to know Nick Schmidt and the crew there very well. First-rate operation. And the thing that impresses us the most is the care that they put into every RV they sell. They put them through a 172-point inspection. They make sure that all the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. They road test every RV. They make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior just as much as they do the outside. Every component is turned on, tested to make sure it works. All of their used RVs are thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks and replace any silicone caulking that may be necessary. And again, if you buy a new motorhome from them, they'll deliver it to your driveway free anywhere in the continental U.S. They're located in Gainesville, Florida, but you can check their inventory and start the whole shopping process by just going to sunshinestatervs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, our intrepid Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett, this time are in North Carolina.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. We recently saw Rocket Man, the Elton John biopic, and in one of the grand scenes, he's sitting at the piano on a rotating stage playing Pinball Wizard. Bells were dinging and that characteristic sound of metal balls bouncing off electric bumpers was everywhere when we stepped into the Pinball Museum in Asheville, North Carolina. The Wizard would have felt right at home here, where the machines ranged from vintage 1950s tops to electronic marvels from much more recent years.
We stepped up to the counter and paid our admission, which then entitled us to unlimited play on all the machines save two. Why did we have to pay an extra 25 cents to play those machines, I wanted to know? No clue, said the man behind the counter. Maybe just in case you want the experience of dropping a quarter down the slot? Regardless, there were dozens of machines to play without the quarter tariff, and we must have played them all. One of my favorites was a baseball game I remember from the bowling alley when I was a kid. Pitch, hit, maybe score some runs.
There's a Hall of Honor with a row of retired machines, mostly from the 1940s and 1950s. Tom's grandfather was an itinerant electrician and for a while ran a string of pinball machines in the Texas oil fields. Back then, they were called marble tables, and beating the high score won you not only bragging rights, but a cash prize. The prizes were strictly illegal, and the fact that the machines were used for gambling caused many localities to outlaw them. Up until the early 1970s, they were illegal in many towns, and so grew their own anti-establishment subculture.
Stuck in a back room, like the cousins nobody wants you to know about, are two dozen classic video arcade games. These might awaken some long-forgotten muscle memory if you ever spent time playing Frogger, Centipede, Galaga, or Pong. Like the pinball, you get unlimited play on these, and it's easy to lose an hour or two hunched over the joysticks trying to get that danged amphibian across the road. Add a beer, and it would have seemed an awful lot like our college days.
We wanted to know how the machines are kept operational. Surely pinball machine technicians are not easy to find. Well, said the desk man, everyone who works here knows how to fix one particular problem or one particular machine. So we have a fair amount of skill among the staff. Then on Tuesdays, they're closed on Tuesdays, the owner comes up from downstate. He can fix almost anything. How did he learn, we asked. Just taking them apart in his garage, I think. He has some serious skills, and man, can he play.
Though we'd never encountered one, it turns out this sort of pinball emporium isn't all that uncommon, although the Play All You Like feature is unusual. Atlas Obscura offers a map for a pinball-themed trip around the USA, with stops from Florida to Minnesota and New York City to Tucson. Get good, and you can sign up for a pinball tournament, or just shop around and find a machine to put in the back of your RV. You'll be a hit on rainy days at the campground.
Asheville is a beautiful city, home to a vibrant arts and crafts community. You can find trendy and delicious restaurants, excellent craft beer, and almost any kind of outdoor adventure outfitter here in town. Also here is the Mast General Store, one of the oldest in the country. Park your rig and spend a day wandering around the town. You're sure to find something that tickles your fancy. Maybe you'll find us, Patty and Tom Burkett, toughening up our crazy flipper fingers out here off the beaten path.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast. That was a lot of fun.
That was.
And we want to thank you guys for listening. Again, happy 4th of July. A lot of traffic. If you're up camping somewhere, you're going to have to head back, and you'll be heading back with lots of others. So be alert. Give yourself plenty of time so you're not too tired from all that fun time out there camping out. Thank you again for listening. Remember, new episodes of this podcast are released every Wednesday morning. We please, please, please are inviting you to subscribe. Just go to your favorite podcast app. We are on all of them, iTunes, Stitcher, Tuned In, Spotify, whatever one you use. And of course, you can listen to us on the computer directly from our RVLifestyle.com travel blog. Don't forget our YouTube channel. New videos out every Thursday, loaded with helpful videos on the RV lifestyle. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you on the podcast next week with another episode. Till then,
happy trails.
Bye-bye.